Aloha and welcome to the Carol Cox Show on talk808.com. Thank you for joining me. If you want to reach us, call in at 782-6627. The phone number again, 808, area code, 782-6627. Reach us at carol@carolcox.com or EnviroWatch at EnviroWatch.org. If you, like many of you, have quite a few concerns with illegal dumping, bad government activities or pollution and what have you, please give us a call, send us an email. You know, our policy is to be anonymous as possible. If in this town, as we know, though it's predominantly Democratic, you're living in a hellhole when it comes to truth and honesty and integrity and transparency. It just it escapes us all for some reason. Our government is structured in such a fashion that it's a fashion show, and that we have all of the movable parts that other states have across the nation in a democracy. But for some reason, this town has a hybridized form of democracy that causes everybody to shuffle and walk around in fear. They can't speak up because their aunt might get fired. They can't speak up because they might get beaten up. They can't speak up because they might be evicted, or just on and on. And you, every day you see that flag run up the pole, the red, white, and blue with the 50 stars and all. And it's very moving. But a reality settles in on you here in Hawaii, and that is there is so much corruption and ineptness that it puzzles you. It leaves you scratching your head. And so if you scratch too long, you know, you become injured and what have you. So there's a lot of things. And today we're going to be talking about that same kind of heavy-handedness, that corruption, special interests, and measures or efforts to take over government activities, government functions by nonprofit organizations. So, excuse me. So what happens then in this town called Honolulu, or in this state called Hawaii, you drive by, you see the state capitol. And housing there is a people that were duly elected and had a legal election took place, as far as we can tell. Well, we've had some problems with our election officials, but that's par for the course, I guess. But in this town, you'll find there's a layer of plantation mindset from the old days where everybody still owe allegiance to some of the people that were mostly, many of them were whites who ran had full control over the farm, the process, the sugar cane and what have you. And spun off from that was people that were accepted. But the larger part of this thing was that what has been left is a disjointed government process that grew into something that, or morphed itself into something that is rather frightening. And though it's labeled democracy, I personally don't believe it is a democracy, because if people wake up in the morning and find that someone has dumped radioactive material with the big danger sign on it that says radioactivity, you're likely to get a response from that party that owns that property and being very careful not to offend anybody for that, because they know if you speak up or you call up, and it, the people that dumped it might come and retaliate against you, and you won't get the protection that you are afforded or should be afforded. If you speak up, you are likely to be fined by the city and county of Honolulu or the state of Hawaii because it's your property and they're lazy, and it's probably their friends who or someone that donated large campaign funds to them or worked on their campaign, something to that nonsense. And so you basically left out on your own. And a remedy to that was to and to insulate us all from that kind of behavior and that mindset and the practices. It is a practice where you go and you elect someone and you vote for them and they represent you in that district. And they represent your interests at the state capitol. And they leave here and go to the mainland, to Washington, D.C., to represent you there if they were elected. But for some reason, the victim, when it comes to environmental injustices and environmental problems and violations of the total people by polluting, it's taken lightly. Whether it's, we have more consent decrees on the treatment of sewage plants and the handling of sewage and the spilling of sewage than necessary. But that's the cover-up. That's the corruption that, well, we have a health department that has, I use the term disjointed, but I think I should go back and break it down to you so you can see, even if it's in its purest form, good intentions and the best system, and wasn't intended to be corrupt, here's where things fall apart. Fall to pieces, I should say. And in this process, we're going to talk about the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, but I want to lay a foundation of this topic. So we have the Department of Land and Natural Resources. It has an aquatics division, and I'm not going to name every division that they have, but they have aquatics division, parks, they have historical preservation, which preserves the artifacts, old, historical and archaeological and all those significant things. And in that is a substantial concern with Native Hawaiian history and the preservation of that. But the way the state handles it really don't give much care, does not provide or afford full protection of those historical sites or the cultural sites. Now, they do, one might call up right now and argue with me and say, well, it's not true. Well, I will say it is true because the staffing that handles that is not adequate and on and on and on. So you take the historical preservation, then you have boating. But then you have the law enforcement branch, and then you have the engineering and what have you on, that handles dams and all, and reservoirs. Well, there is the protection of the aquatic division, which is the fish and the wildlife, and most of the wildlife here, as we know it, pretty much most of it is introduced either by intentional or accidental or underhandedness or just basically lazy from, I mean, if you have a fragile and pristine environment, you want to muck it up real quick, do what Hawaii has done. Import Christmas trees, import potted plants, import, and be loose about it. Don't have strict regulations and strict adherence to the rules that are in place. So that in itself has taken away or eroded some of the quality of life as we know it as a flora and fauna. So then you have the Department of Health. They do the clean water. But if DLNR is to protect the waters, you never hear them filing any illegal actions against anyone for polluting waters, unless it's a ship run aground or something of that nature. Then the reason they run to that is that they got their hands out like you are handing out fistful of dollars So they see that they can get a couple million from a settlement, from civil settlement or civil case brought against the entity that ran aground. For example, the spillage of molasses. They were more concerned with to cover that up, they being the health department, and oblige and comfort the person or the organization that spilled it. And spills can be accidental, and I don't know what the final determination was, but we found a bit of hanky-panky in the process where there was a Coast Guard individual who was working with the Coast Guard who had but had found his way with employment or involved in that molasses cleanup. So you have people duplicating themselves or this process to protect the environment here. The health department handles water as well. The health department handles the clean air. The health department handles wastewater. But they rarely talk to one another. And you would think that if I pick up the phone and say there is a fish kill or a die-off in a certain area of a certain estuary or whatever, bay or water body, everyone would come. Department of Land and Natural Resources with their law enforcement and collecting the evidence and collecting, making inventory, because it is a violation. It would be a violation of the Clean Water Act. It would be a violation of state law. It would be a violation of many of the laws that exist, and you taking without permit, that would be something you would be enforcing. Well, here in Hawaii, it does not work that way. The health department, you take, for example, dairies. The dairies that existed, that some of them, one just shut down, and another one was in the process of building and decided to close the door on that effort, that adventure. But you have millions of gallons of water being dumped intentionally into gullies and streams on the Big Island. And in the streams, you'll find o'opu, native species of fish, the shrimp, and other aquatic species, and some aquatic plants and what have you. But we found that in this process, the Department of Land and Natural Resources were nowhere to be found in the investigation, in the review, or anything of this dairy and its process or its practice of dumping cow manure-laden water by the millions of gallons, hundreds of thousands of gallons on various events. And the DLNR never showed up to measure or determine or make an assessment of the impacts of dumping it into the streams, dumping it into the gullies, which would eventually or subsequently flow into the ocean, which would kill off or sicken or impact the coral and the marine life there and all of those things. But you would think, well, gee, someone just forgot to call them. No. The town is so corrupt that they want it to, it's done in a way that it's addressed quietly, gentlemanlike, and you don't step over it until you get the permission from the higher ups how what you do and proceed. So, having said all of that, this corruption can only exist if we hire the people that are corrupt, if we hire the people, if the governor selects and appoints and the senators and the legislators approve and interview and hire the people, give them the nod to be hired. That party is not guaranteeing, the one that was selected, is not guaranteeing that they will show allegiance to the people of the state of Hawaii. You're likely to find that many of them are loyal to their first employment prior to being appointed as a chairperson or a director of these agencies. And it's kind of a musical chair in a sense. You take Dr. Bruce Anderson, heads now the health department. But then he's already been at the health department, and we're up to our nose in cow manure and wastewater and illegal dumpings under his watch in past years. And we had the Red Hill fuel leaks and all of those things. All of this, so David E. Gay hired him again. Suzanne Case hired Bruce Anderson once more. And she hired him and said that he could work here on this island. We've reported this. We can allow him to work on this island for 4 days and then be on the big island, the other islands, and working for the. And that was pure poppycock. It had nothing to do with reality, as we reported. And so we're not striking out at Dr. Anderson. It's the system. No new blood is welcome here in the state of Hawaii. You have to kiss the ring of the elite who are in control of the whatever it is. The nail that pops up, they say here, that sticks up, gets hammered down. Well, what about an honest person that comes along? So I've said all this, and it sounds like a frustrated old man talking, but many of us are not aware of the demise or what our natural resources, the explanation why they are depleted and why so many endangered species found here. And the list goes on and on and on. And that's because agriculture takes lead. We knew that the frogs were here, but there was a refusal on the part of the Department of Agriculture now. Now, agriculture also regulate the import of species or various plants and garden plants and household plants and food plants and what have you. They, at one time, snakes, and you could go into any store and buy snakes or scorpions or frogs or helicopter catfish or anything. This was back in the 90s. But yet, you'd hear these same people that are in power say that, oh, Hawaii is such a fragile and irreplaceable place, and that the wildlife and the flora and the fauna and all of that is so fragile and unique. So, duplication and assigning the duties of partitioning certain work to go to certain areas, to certain agencies, when they are not skilled or equipped to do the enforcement. So I envision what, if it wasn't so corrupt, that when the phone rang at the Department of Health that someone had dumped 1 million gallons of whatever chemical in the water, then before they leave the office, they have telephoned the Department of Health. They've telephoned and summoned the Department of Land and Natural Resources and the Department of Agriculture. And from that, the three entities, and there may be another one, if you know of them, let me know. And they all converge or convene on a certain area where it was the pollution is. And they work as a team. But here in this state, one agency goes out and practically don't even tell the other agency. And that's done to control the less people handling matters and less interference, the better you can cover up or let your friends or let big companies or polluters off the hook. So how is this done? DLNR, we're going to talk specifically now about DLNR, and the reason I choose this is that they are one of the most key players in this whole process of protecting our natural resources and our natural wonders here in the state of Hawaii. So Governor David Ige picked one person to head the DLNR. The environmental community balked at that and says, well, no, he's a developer. We can't have him. And there were concerns, and I, too, expressed concerns because he worked for a major developer. And we didn't want to see any more houses, and which we end up getting anyway. That's the funny part about this. Ige then succumbs to the, quote, pressure from the environmental community. And I'm using that term lightly because on one day the environmental community could be this person and on these issues, and the next thing it could be an agency organization that picks up the phone and go, why aren't you supporting the rail? You know, the rail is going to be good for Honolulu, and yet that's not how you approach things. And the rail has shown us how bad it can be just in the purchase and the structure and the writing it. So Governor Ige takes and nominates and appoints Suzanne Case. Suzanne Case has a history with the Nature Conservancy. And Suzanne, and that's not a bad thing. But there are concerns with Suzanne Case in her capacity as a former, or we don't know what's clear about her status, because she maybe, because when she serves as a chairman of the board there at the DLNR, BLNR, there was other people that were affiliated with Nature Conservancy were also served on the board. So it's kind of it give you that stinky feeling or sensation that it's stacking, and then, you know, you don't need, and when you're dealing with the general public, how is it that certain people affiliated or having worked with Suzanne Case at Nature Conservancy can find their pathway to the Board of Land and Natural Resources? So Suzanne Case, my assessment, as I see it now based on many, many experiences and documents, Suzanne Case is not good for the environment here in Hawaii. Suzanne Case manufactured, under her watch, manufactured a false case involving sea cucumbers. They wanted to make a big splash in the news, and they had a community fisheries enforcement unit that they built inside of the Department of Land and Natural Resources, DOCARE, enforcement. The first unit was on Maui. Now, monies were donated by private interests in the initial stages. Sounds like a good thing. Wow. You know, a nonprofit comes along with a pocket full of money, and I see that our systems are depleted or not function, right? Or we don't have adequate funding. And bestow upon us lucky people, that they came along and endowed us with a large amount of money, let's say $1 million+. And they promised to buy out cars and trucks and boats to equip this community fisheries enforcement unit. And Governor Abercrombie, Ige's predecessor, even did a proclamation, and not one of those units had been in place, and he did a proclamation of how successful it had been. But you go figure that one out. But And you can find that proclamation on carolcox.com if you're interested. So things are running a little smooth. They've coming in through the back door, we'll call it, at the invite of Suzanne Case. Suzanne Case is inviting other nonprofit organizations, and some some not so profitable, or just people, to get involved with this community-based fisheries, and also started to hire people that are private individuals having nothing to do with DLNR, Department of the State Office or Employment or anything, but were allowed to come in and work within the DLNR. And meantime, while pushing aside the professional civil servants that we, the taxpayer, have paid to fund their salaries and what have you, and they were being ignored or pushed off and shoved aside. But what does that mean? That means our resources are not adequately being covered and being protected and managed, because you can't get a kid that's wet behind the ear to just hop off of a Greyhound bus there in Kalihi and fresh out of nowhere and then allow them to have free roam with inside of the government. Well, in the case of the community-based fisheries, they wanted to make a flash because they wanted to change the order of things in the state of Hawaii. They wanted to reduce the fishing, and they want to restrict the fishing, and in some instances, ban fishing altogether. Now, Suzanne Case took up on herself. They knew they weren't going to commit, but they said they were. They were going to have monies to fund this community-based fisheries. Well, they spent it, what they donated. They had fancy forerunners and what have you, fancy boat. And they took men from the normal, regular enforcement units, field officers, and recruited a couple of them and then put them in a, quote, community-based fisheries enforcement unit. Now, their production was minuscule when it came to apprehending and prosecuting resource violators. So how did Suzanne Case make this pitch and make it look successful? Well, they start to skim from the top of the other officers that were not in the community-based fisheries program and take their stats, and we'll call stats being law enforcement actions taken against for violations of resources and what have you, and took those stats and incorporated them into the community-based fisheries enforcement units packet to make it appear as if they were successful when, in fact, it was failing. Suzanne Case, now you think if this was done to further enhance the enforcement and the ability to enforce by the state, that's a good thing. But in the process, it was more than, it was a situation where it was to aid in a bet, nonprofit organizations who had the desire to get into state affairs and take over, diverting monies and funding their own projects and using state resources to do their own private interests. So Suzanne Case, and I'm laying this out to show you why she's up for reconfirmation, and I'm speaking to say that she should not be reappointed. Not good for the environment. There's many instances where nothing is motivated by environmental concerns or the protection. But Suzanne Case then allows, there is this concern with sea cucumbers. Something as lowly as the lowly sea cucumber. And Suzanne Case and her community-based fisheries enforcement unit members, three or four officers, we know three, decided under her guidance and whomever else, brilliant thinking, decided to orchestrate and manufacture a case or a news story so that they could look good to say that the enforcement unit is working and look how great they're doing, and we need money to and give us money to the legislators, please give us money to enhance the ability of the enforcement unit. When in fact, Suzanne Case initially represented that all of the funding for this was going to be a continued funding by nonprofit organizations external to DLNR. So I won't go through all the minor details, but there was a debate and a concern, and it rose to the level of protecting the sea cucumber because, quote, they had discovered that there was a commercial operation and the commercialization of sea cucumber, that they just, through investigations, they had learned that this is what was being told by Suzanne Case Advance. But in reality, we pull records under the FOIA, the Freedom of Information Act, or Public Records Request, and we found that in those records housed in the Aquatics Division, each year there's been commercialization, commercial fishing of sea cucumbers from as far back as the 50s, and they have a record on it. But Suzanne Case represented that this is a business that has just developed overnight, and it's a concern when, in fact, in her own files, it showed that they were already being harvested commercially. And so Suzanne Case then get the officers, they learn of a shipment that was coming from Maui, of shipment of sea cucumbers coming from Maui aboard one of those shipping companies, barges or container ships. And it was going to come over loaded with sea cucumber. Suzanne Case then took those officers, brought them here, but prior to coming here, they contacted the shipping company and asked to have that shipment held up because the person put them into, introduced them into shipping, for shipping from Maui to come to Honolulu and then to go to a house that was to process them. Well, the officers went down, contacted the shipping company and said, hold that shipment. We're going to conduct an investigation. And in the meantime, their investigation consisted of getting to Honolulu, renting a car, doing a press release, doing a press conference to talk about this major commercial commercial activity and business of sea cucumber that has just started up. And again, go back to our records at carolcox.com and type in sea cucumber, and you'll see the records will reflect that they were already in the 50s being sold and harvested, and people had to require and make a report and get a commercial license. So now, show you how corrupt this is. You're using a heavy-handed approach to the officers within the ranks, and you know that nobody's going to speak up if they risk losing their job or experiencing some retaliation or retribution at the hands of people like Suzanne Case. So Suzanne Case bring the men over, they rent the car, they're going to go and do a undercover surveillance of the play of the, and find out, let the person that imported them from Maui, or shipped them from Maui, let them come to the shipping agency's facility, pick up the shipment, And then they're going to follow that person in a surreptitious fashion, undercover, unmarked rental car. And their purpose is to tell that person to where he goes and deliver the sea cucumber. Now, that's nothing wrong with that story. There should be applauded, some might say. But the reality is, now, as well as having officers on the island of Maui, there's a cadre of officers on this island, the island of Oahu, Honolulu. And these officers on Honolulu already knew where the location was. They already knew that there was no law that prohibited the sale of sea cucumbers other than the reporting process. And if you hadn't, if you have a license and you're out taking them and unless you take them, you don't need a permit unless you sell them at that time. That's why she was trying to create a new law, but saying that there was something recently discovered. So how is it that Suzanne Case, under her management, she have officers on this island and officers on Maui, but she allow the officers on Maui to come over and pretend that they are doing a surveillance when the officers on Oahu already know where the location was and the house and the address and had gone there and knew about it, but she didn't want that information out to the public. Now, again, she had a little splash, but it didn't go over well the way she wanted. But this is the Suzanne Case who would lend herself to that kind of behavior. Now, you might say, what's the big deal? You're pissing and moaning about something that should be accepted and tolerated. Well, if you have to finagle your way and lie and steal and cheat, and you're shaving money off and you're bringing nonprofit organizations inside the government, and you're housing them and you're affording, allowing them to drive state trucks and state cars, and then you haven't addressed the indemnification, but even so yet, the people's interest is of first concern. If we have civil service people in place where we're spending tax dollars to fund their position and house them and support them and provide insurance and retirement and vacation and sick leave, then we should be able to get our money's worth. But instead, Suzanne Case pushed them aside. So then, in pushing them aside, you then bring in private people, and then you do a favor to Bruce Anderson, Dr. Bruce Anderson, and let him come on in a temporary fashion, coming and going. What have you done? You have denuded the public's trust. It has no vestiges, tentacles or protection anymore because you have stacked the cards against it. And you stare down your gun barrel at the persons or parties that witness all of this but better not speak up. If you want to see a sad sight, folks, there are people with doctor's degrees, master's degrees, bachelor's degrees, good, honest, wholesome people, afraid to even look up and speak out because they are a captive audience. They know that David Igay has picked the devil herself to run an agency that tilted. Now, these are people, many people here of minority background, people of color. And many of her hires, Suzanne Case hires, in promotion to upper level, even excusing the need for higher degrees and what have you, most of her hires and the people that she was favoring and bringing from the outside, most of them, or many of them, were white Anglo-Saxon American. And I know in the state of Hawaii, we don't have racism here. We don't experience that. That's some mainland talk. Well, it's wrong. It exists. And it's a carryover from the old plantation days and the same people that, if you look at many of the functions here in the state, some of the old plantation names are in the in-group. So this Department of Land and Natural Resources, under the guidance of Suzanne Case, goes further, and we have people that have been prosecuted for workplace violence. And one of them, in fact, had another one brought against him. And the handpicked entity, Mr. Robert Farrell, who is no longer the chief, picked by Suzanne Case, discouraged the people, the officers, from filing another one. An incident occurred on a gun range, and they didn't like what was transpiring and how they were being talked to. They thought it was a volatile situation. They went to Robert Farrell and found Robert Farrell attempting to discourage and not encourage them, and then protected by actually using the person was received punishment and was put on rope or relieved of his duties. But Robert Farrell overruled that and then went and, while he was in the capacity of a DoCare administrator. So Suzanne Case has an elaborate scheme. There's Dan Dennison, who pays substantial amounts of money to do nothing but run around with a consumer type camera, probably will up the level now to commercial, professional. But we find him, we pull some of his records and the costs. We saw that nearly $50,000 at a certain period of time was just spent on travel. And we also know that, but Suzanne Case, this is under her watch now. Meantime, the person that is able to get on a plane and fly and spend lots and lots of money for travel. But at the same time, the biologists, who are more critical and more important of a role than this public relations person, couldn't leave their desk. Why do you think that? You want to portray yourself and give one image, but your real image is that you're suppressing and you're demoralizing the staff, which translates into zero protection or minimum protection or no quality in protection of the wildlife or the resources. Suzanne Case has founded under her watch, and under the guidance with Robert Farrell, who's no longer the chief now, but doing his time as chief, we talked about this on occasion. Go to carolcox.com and type in DLNR Academy, and you can see an exchange of about 500 emails where an individual, an academy was structured by Farrell and some others, and also working through the school, Richard School of Law, Dr. Denise Antolini and others, instead of keeping the money inside of the budget of DLNR, they went to the outside, had it funneled through nonprofit, and the nonprofit then gives it to Richard School of Law or someone involved or near that organization over there at UH. And then proceed to give the contract and the proffer and the running of it and the structuring of it to a friend of Robert Farrell's, who was actually his supervisor when Farrell was at Cal Fish and Game. Suzanne Case allows this to happen. Now, Suzanne Case also know that there was many, many taser or electric, we'll call them stun guns, purchased by her agency. Where are they? Why aren't the officers trained and allowed to carry these? This is a less lethal force, and in law enforcement, you want to talk about escalating force. You start off with the basic, simple commands or intervention, and you don't want to use deadly force to have that the only thing you have. You have a baton, or you have an asp, or you have a taser. Well, somehow there's a number. We don't know if they purchased one for each officer, but the waste of money. Not any of the officers carry any tasers. They also purchased, some while back, riot gear to deal with the people at Mauna Kea. They can't find the riot gear, can't account for it now. But they did just recently, we're told, spend thousands and thousands of dollars to buy more riot gear in preparation for the big riot, I guess, at Mauna Kea. So those of you that are out listening to this, you might want to inquire. So what does this have to do with Suzanne Case's? Well, this is how she viewed the people. You can't speak out. You can't voice your opinion. She's supposed, but instead she is, I'm not saying you're not to prepare yourself, but it's that heavy-handed mindset that we've witnessed now over the years where you're really not caring about me. You're not sensitive to my needs and what have you. You just want this heavy-handed steel fist, pound the table, damn you, full speed ahead. So Suzanne Case is not the suitable person for the DLNR. Now, many of the nonprofit environmental groups, and that could be used lightly because you sign up as a member and then you may not even see or participate anymore other than a casual mailer and what have you, or pick up a cleanup. But they use that information and go and say, well, we have 100,000 members and we support Suzanne Case. Suzanne Case, in my experience in witnessing in other natural resource management agencies, Suzanne Case, these are the types of comments that are preceding her or speak to her when people talk now. Supposedly, and we're going to ask this question, and maybe some of you listeners out there, and I offer this to soliciting some input. You never know. You may have heard the other side of this or some clarification. But the IUCN meeting that was held here, the function here, that the state of Hawaii funded to teach the rest of the world how to protect the environment. And that's a joke, folks. I mean, I hope they just came for the party, because if they use the same methods that we use here to protect the environment, they can kiss their environment goodbye. So the word is, and what we're going to ask questions and hopefully get this asked by the senators who before the full committee or the committee that's is that when the IUCN, there were millions of dollars available. 1 million of that money was taken and shaved off the top. This is a report now. We don't have any facts in hand, and we're asking, and this is the first overt effort to solicit from you out there. If you've heard anything about this, please feel free to give me a call. We will remain anonymous and share with us. But the word is, and this is gossip, it goes this way. 1 million of that money from the IUCN was shaved off. It was given to one of Suzanne Case's organizations that she formerly associated with. Now, this is what we're, the report, the allegations. And to cover for that, she then took $1 million from the Bureau of Conveyances, a state agency, and then covered, tried to cover it to conceal the fact that she had shaved off $1 million. I don't know if that's factual or true, but this is what we would love to know. If any of you out there know someone through conversation, have heard anything, and if it's not accurate, if it's false information, we'd like to come back and tell you that that is what the issue is and what the status is. So then we hear there is a federal investigation involving the DLNR chairman regarding the misappropriation of monies. From what source, from what grants, from we don't know. Again, these are allegations. But it's, I can't say, because what we know is enough to say that then what we hear is true. But when you lend yourself to this kind of behavior, that inviting nonprofit folks in, having nothing to do with government, finagling and setting aside and pushing out the civil service people who are designated or are legislated, I should say, to be in place. So that's a big problem. We want to know. We want to know about the riot gear. We want to know about the taser guns. We want to know about... And what does that mean? It leaves the officer only with the ability to use lethal force or subdue the person through hand-to-hand combat or PPT tactics or, you know, pressure point. But try pressure points on a person on crack or stone on drugs and see how far you go, you get. And many of these officers are working along. And as we've reported now, so you take the handling of the funneling of the money through UH and building an academy. The academy is up, has produced a couple people. But is the academy accredited? Is it peace officer standard training? Is it recognized by any other agency? Does it set and expose the public to a lawsuit, or the taxpayers to a lawsuit, for having people carrying guns and not properly trained or uniformly trained as other police officers? So what are they working by? What rules? And how does that translate into, if the officers are not equipped properly, they can't do the job, and they're not going to be encouraged to do the job, and they're not being paid and allowed to go out and work the many nights that when the poachers are really out. But if you notice, there's this unique process of practice. Come holidays, you have a full regatta of DLNR effort in boats to get people for drinking and operating a boat. But yet, they don't have many people that is trained on their staff to do BUI, boating under the influence. They don't have cars to transport or cages to transport. But they do have the HPD. And why would HPD be expected to subject themselves to the poor policing practices of DLNR? So Governor Ige made a bad choice. And I'm hoping that he come to terms with this and decide, like he did Joby Musagetani, who we reported, repeatedly reported and reported, and she was voted out and not confirmed at the Hawaiian homeland. And there is Mr. Bill Isla. I don't tend to get involved in the DHHL matters anymore, because many of the people that you come in contact with talk the talk, walk the walk, but then when it comes to jobs and special favors, they abandon their cause. And so I get tired of being left at the bus stop waiting for the people that were fighting a good fight it fizzle out, and you're left there alone sitting, and it just doesn't, it's not rewarding. But the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and there are so many, many things. Suzanne Case stated that she supports the actions and the doing goings on with Mr. Farrell. This was done in a formal press release. And Chief Farrell has my complete support in his continuing efforts to transform our states in conservation law enforcement. Well, hopefully, and I've just touched the surface here with the goings on in DLNR. She's insulated herself, as I said, with a senior communications person. We don't need that kind of money spent on a person going around making Facebook video, paying it upwards of six figures to do that, when in fact just call the island and tell the biologist or someone there in that capacity or the game warden, can you get me some video shots of function? That you don't need to put the public relations person on a plane, then fly to Hilo and fly to Big Island and to Kona and then fly to Maui back and forth. You should see the travel that this person and all the little trinkets that he purchased. And you ask yourself, yet our biologists can't make it to the field. So there is something wrong here, and we're going to ask some questions, whether if Mr. Ige, Governor Ige, reappoints her and she's successful, we're going to ask even more probative questions. And there's this practice now. You write a FOIA or a request. There's a little stalling and blockage and harassment of refusing to be timely in the delivery of the requested information. So you might hear and see a different approach here, and guerrilla style, I guess. We're going to write them questions, seek answers. If they don't, we're going to just print, go with what we have, no longer waiting to be polite. And then what happens is that they go out and strike out. I produce a number of news stories. I consider myself a journalist slash activist slash environmentalist advocate, civil rights. And Dan Dennison and Robert Farrell went to the various TV stations and other media outlets and started to soil my name, because I am mindful and watchful, watching over them and reporting their bad behavior. So, again, this is Suzanne Case. She's not receptive to any complaints. When she came aboard, I telephoned her, tried to set up a meeting, tried to tell her about the unlawful use of helicopter for private purposes of game wardens who had a daughter who had a wedding coming up, and they used a helicopter that is normally used for drug pulling. She didn't do anything, and a couple of years later, when things got a little hot, she said, well, basically, it's been so long, this incident, so it's we're not going to take any action on it. But when she came in, it was still in its infancy. So anyway, I ask that all of you, if you do mind, and you are interested in the quality of protection that we have, ask the governor, call the governor and ask him to withdraw her name. And ask your local senator who's on, it goes before the Land and Water Committee this Monday, and ask them to reject Suzanne Case. And if you want to talk further and want more specific information on the going-ons with Suzanne Case, please don't hesitate to give me a call at 782-6627, area code 808, and or go to talk808.com and tell your friends about 808.com. We're going to expand here, and we want to make sure we got all the bugs out of it, and I think we're there, and it's a forum that affords an opportunity. So if you know something, see something, and want to say something, give us a call. Or go to talk808.com and or envirowatch.org. It's all the same. It loops in the same. So just please feel free. And aloha. And thank you for joining me. Aloha.